Sabbath blessings, everyone. Do you hear me? Clear? All right. Praise the Lord. Yeah, me and my house, we will serve the Lord, all of us. That's why we are here. And before we start, let's all kneel. I invite you to pray if you can. Please kneel. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this Sabbath day that we can gather again to praise and worship your holy name. Thank you so much for your holy presence through your Holy Spirit, inspiring us to love you more and continue in the faith. Thank you, Father, for blessing the children's study and the adult study that we have studied earlier. So many blessings, Lord, the truth you are giving us. And we uplift to you all the prayer requests of your children, that they will be answered in accordance to your will. And I also ask you to please bridle my tongue as I continue to speak in your behalf. And please, Father, forgive us for all the sins we have committed against Thee, even unknowingly. And may You grant us peace, grant us joy, as we worship You this Holy Sabbath day. For we ask all these things in the best of our ability in the name of our loving Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Amen. Amen and amen. Sister Zoom, you have series log. Maybe you can refresh. Hit F5 to refresh your browser. And then hit the play button again. Okay, today is November 23, 2024. So we only have one more Sabbath in the month of November. Praise the Lord. And of course, this Sabbath, we will digest what the Word of God tells us about compromise. And that's our topic today. So first, let's define its meaning. Okay. Okay, Sister Janisa posted the link of the notes so you can follow along. Okay, let's see. Let's define the meaning of the word compromise. It means allowing your principles to be less strong or your standards or morals to be lower. It also means a partial surrender of purposes or principles, a mutual concession or agreement to partially sacrifice goals or values. Okay, for instance, when you compromise your faith or your principles just to fit in, to be accepted, it can lead to negative results. Okay, it's no good. But we will elaborate more on this as we go on. But take note, there are times when compromises or concessions can be beneficial and helpful in our relationships, whether at home or within the church family. One example is found in Matthew chapter 5, 23 to 24. Matthew 5, 23 to 24 says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." So when disagreements or, let's say, misunderstandings arise, try to reach a compromise or mutual concession in order to promote reconciliation, and this will avoid conflict. Maybe a little explanation could totally change opinions and remove bitter feelings. But never compromise God's principle at all for the sake of obtaining peace. That's why in Review and Herald, January 16, 1900, it says here, "On points of feeling between man and man, concessions, that is compromise, should sometimes be made. But never should one iota of principle be sacrificed to obtain harmony." Because we cannot obey God's law until we put all differences out of mind and let the Spirit of Christ soften and control our hearts. You know, pride. There is always a pride, and sometimes refusal to admit mistakes. This hinder our prayers. Okay, so make all possible concessions that you can. You know, It is essential, especially in healthy marriages. You know, in the family, in a biblical compromise in marriage means sacrificing your emotions and you, what you call heat of the moment feelings, you know, during this agreement. And of course, loving your spouse to keep peace and harmony in the home, rather than getting your own desires to avoid hurting his or her feelings. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, Ephesians 4, 2, it says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Yes, we have to strive to show kindness, patience, and forbearance to one another, and not cherishing bitter feelings. Allow our hearts to be softened and subdued by the Holy Spirit. That's why in 1 John chapter 3, 18 to 19, we are told, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Now in Genesis chapter 1, 3 to 4, Genesis chapter 1, 3 and 4, right from the very beginning, God has already laid out a very important principle for us to follow when He said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. So every time we see the light, it is always good. That's why God divided the light from the darkness. And even Apostle Paul, he used this principle when he quoted or he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, he applied these verses spiritually by saying, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shined our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So as God has given the world the glorious light of the sun, so God has given our hearts the glorious light of the gospel. See, God has given us that light, so that we may enlighten others the knowledge of God through Christ. That's why Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that walketh, followed me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Without Jesus, everything is darkness. It will be misery and death. Everyone who follows Christ will be saved from ignorance. He or she will be saved from infidelity and sin. He will have his spirit as a living witness to the world that has been darkened by sin. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, Ephesians 5, 8, we read, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light. See, we were spiritually blind and ignorant before accepting Christ, right? But praise the Lord, praise be to God. We saw and discerned the light. We are filled with wisdom and teaching from God to walk joyfully as children of light. That's why in 1 Peter 2:9, he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why it is not by accident that we are gathering here as one church, but in God's direction. This is God's will that you are here. I am here. We're enjoying the feast. Because God chose you and me to be His special people in this last generation. Isn't that amazing? We are serving Him as an ambassador. His ambassador, His representative to spread His words across the world. See, He called us to step into the marvelous light of the gospel. So, we must maintain our Christ-centered identity and position with confidence and joy. We must live holy and godly and not compromise our calling to these fading worldly pleasures. Stop. Not anymore. Matthew 5:14-16, God, Jesus told us, ye are the light of the world. And in verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, our influence has an impact on the lives of those around us. We can choose. No, we have a choice. You can choose to be a light to brighten and cheer their path or the path of others, or we can be a tempest that brings destruction. What do you like? What do you choose? Of course, we must be a light. But, you know, in manuscript 82-1900, paragraph 40, manuscript 82-1900, paragraph 40, we are told here that God and evil never harmonize. Between light and darkness, there can be no compromise. Truth is light revealed. Error is darkness. Light has no fellowship with darkness. Righteousness, no fellowship with unrighteousness. The safety of Christ's soldier is assured only when they work and sleep with their armor on. That's why I remember Nehemiah, when they were guarding the wall. They were sleeping, but they are holding their armor, their sword, and they cannot come down. They will not come down. So, same thing with us. That should be our position. In letter 49A, August 30, 1878, it says, there are no compromises in the Word of God for those who conform to the world. The Son of God has manifested that He might draw all men unto Him, but He came not to lull the world to sleep, not to send peace, but a sword. The followers of Christ must walk in the light of His glorious example. And whatever sacrifice of ease or selfish indulgence, at whatever cost of labor or sufferings, we must maintain the constant battle with self and exalt the gospel standard. See, ourselves, this self is the greatest enemy that we must overcome through the grace of Christ. Because there's a lot of I, me, mine, full of selfishness, right? But we are warned not to compromise with sin because it weakens our relationship with God and leads to spiritual defeat. So avoiding compromise means avoiding sin and conforming to the world and striving for holiness. That's why in Romans 12 verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We must avoid worldly customs and practices that lead to sin. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world. The way they dress, the way they speak, the way they eat. Huh? So, there's a lot of things. Instead, we must let God change our minds to see His perfect will. Avoiding anything that displeases God is an important part in following Him. That's why in 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 16, 1 John 2, 15 and 16, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." So loving the world, its pride, and the materialistic pleasures, this can separate us from God. And we compromise with sin by putting earthly gains first over spiritual truth. But we are warned to guard our hearts and put God first in all things. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us put down any sin and other obstacles in our spiritual walk." See, it is easy to get caught of sin if we are not careful, if we are not watchful. And it is difficult to run the race of faith. It stops us. It hinders us. So let's give up all kinds of compromises, be it maybe old habits or old practices or selfish plans, and instead focus on endurance and holiness. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "There had no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Who doesn't have temptations? Who doesn't have trials here? Everybody does. No exemption or exception. It's because it is a universal experience. But when we think we cannot overcome temptation, we compromise with sin. Temptations are God's means of testing and proving us to perfection. So we must look at it as a blessing instead of a curse. Of course, sometimes, most of the time, if you are under that situation, it's hard. You cannot even smile. No? It's really difficult. But again, in this text, God is faithful that when we are tempted, He always gives us a way out, a way of escape. He always gives us the power to resist the devil. But we only need to have that simple faith and trust. You know, like the birds in the sky. Simple faith and trust in His words and submit yourself to Him. That's why compromising with sin can be avoided. But of course, we cannot do it on our own because our way is, you know, imperfect, impure. In Psalm 119:9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." So, Obedience. Obedience to God's word is the only way to maintain our purity and holiness. When we ignore Bible truth, we compromise God's word. We corrupt His truth. We rebel against Him. When the world forces to get us to change and adopt its evil works, because there's a lot of pressure, you know, our unbelieving friends and like that, no? Even family, you know, the pressure, peer pressure. We must dare to be like Daniel, to stay true to what Christ taught and to follow God's commands without changing and compromising our faith. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10, Galatians 1:10 says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." As Christians, as a remnant of her seeds, we are His servants. And we must please Him in everything. God's approval is more valuable over men's approval. But most of the time, you know, people compromise because they want to please other people or they want to fit in with social norms. But our first loyalty is to God. He is our first and the last and all the best. We must stay loyal to Him, not with the changing values or principles of the world. 2 Timothy 4:3, we are told, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." When we compromise sound doctrine, what happened? We compromise with God's word. See, many today look for teaching or preaching that fit their tastes. So it's easy to get off track from Bible truth. Look at the false revival's agenda being pushed by the enemy through this modern revivals. A lot of people are crowding, especially young people. They are led to believe another Jesus. And this is a counterfeit gospel. There is a strong desire to teach and accept watered-down versions of the gospel. Why? Because many have itching ears who will look for teachers who follow their own desires and want to hear. But, dear brothers and sisters, we are here, we are called to stand firm on God's word without altering it, without lowering the standard of truth. James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." So we are warned not to give in to worldly ideals and values. And because we are Christians, we must stay away from the corrupt ways of the world. Yeah, next month, Christmas is coming. You see, now you will start seeing a lot of decorations in their houses. But by sacrificing our devotion to God for worldly standards, we compromise the Word of God and puts us in opposition to Him. And in Revelation 3:15-16, Revelation 3:15 to 16, it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Yeah. See, God demands dedication. He demands consecration on us. Not half-hearted obedience or partial obedience. A lukewarm faith is a form of spiritual compromise. To be a lukewarm Christian is one who is a partial Christian who neither totally committed nor totally reject God's commands. And this lack of zeal is unacceptable to God. Unacceptable. He gonna spew you out of his mouth. Proverbs 30:5-6. Proverbs 30:5-6. It says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So, in other words, God's word is pure and trustworthy. And when we add or alter the Bible or even the spirit of prophecy to fit our needs, this is called compromise. Compromising the word of God. That's why we have a bogus Bible. No, the NIV, they have a Queen James Version now. To promote the LGBTQ. Homosexual agenda of Rome. Now we have edited as Spirit of Prophecy. With Roman Catholic dogma. That is compromising the Word of God. We cannot change God's truth. Any attempt to do so is wrong. Deadly wrong. And as followers of Christ, we must never compromise His Word. Now, as we learned earlier, compromise is sometimes necessary in human relationships, since it involves give and take in a family, in a church. You know. But when it comes to our relationship with God, we should never compromise. Godly relationships without compromising our faith are needed so that our love for others reflects God's truth and righteousness. And we have this principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Very important. It says here, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Okay. Especially the young who are contemplating marriage. Think. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? See, this is a very plain warning that is often violated. Why? Because of relying first to feelings over principle. Oh, he's so handsome. He's so sweet. I love him, I love her. But this is forbidden by God. He or she is not a Christian because they don't keep the law of God. And this is what? Dangerous. By marrying or having a business partner even who is unbeliever, is forbidden by God. This is one way to compromise our religion and faith.
Of course, yes, we are to love one another, but by entering into marriage relationship or partnership, will sooner or later will weaken your faith, and this is dangerous, as I've said earlier. You will make your Christian walk doubly hard. Remember that righteousness and sin are incompatible. They cannot harmonize. And compromising will cause spiritual darkness. And we don't want that. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? It's a very plain statement in the Word of God. Yes, mutual agreement is needed for relationship to work. But, compromising on our fundamental beliefs, especially in our faith, causes division and strife. Unity is essential in friendships, business, marriage, and even in the church, but unity must be based on biblical principles, not in false and wrong practices. We must secure the border of our home, of our home churches through gospel order, so we must be safe. Look at how the apostasy in the SDA church continues. And it's now becoming so obvious, they don't hide it anymore. I'm going to post the link here. I think it's in a note also. That's in the Spectrum magazine. Okay. They reported the event of October 12, 2024. It says here, the title of the article is Navigating Change, Adventism and Catholicism in a Shifting World. It said here, the evolving relationship between Adventists and Catholics was candid and hopeful. The event fostered a sense of unity and common purpose, inspiring them to continue these conversations within their own communities as a heartfelt step toward greater harmony between two faith traditions navigating a changing world. See? So this is between the Adventists and the Catholic. The one addressing here is the Adventist theologian Dr. Reinder Boonsma, together with the featured respondent, they call Father Ibe Okomo. He's a Roman Catholic priest. Okay. I did a news blog on this. So this compromise, as we cited, is only an echo of the man of sin's voice calling for ecumenism. Ecumenism is a false unity that will destroy souls. It will definitely lead to destruction. That's why I'm lovingly asking on my SDA, Adventists and Catholic friends, to come out or leave these apostate and Babylonian churches while God's last message of mercy is calling before it's too late. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Relationships shape our life. Okay? Compromising with ignorant or ungodly people can have a bad result. So instead of seeking out wise, instead of going to ungodly people. We have to seek out on godly people, wise people, which will help us develop our character and faith. We must be careful in choosing relationships that build us up spiritually and avoiding influences that lead us astray. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Negative influences can easily corrupt our morality and character. Compromise in our associations can gradually weaken our faith. Maybe we say, oh, okay, we start with good intentions, but the more we engage and interact with non-believers, the more likely we are to adopt behaviors and attitudes contrary to God's will. That's why in Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There is always a blessing when we avoid sinful company. Stay away from ungodly advice and company. Compromise with sin leads to loss of spirituality. You must choose carefully who you listen to, hang out with, if you want to follow the right path. We must refuse to do things or be with people that pull us away from Him. This is walking in obedience to God. Especially to young people. Because they are inexperienced. They need guidance. So, let's help each other not to compromise. And we may also be compromising with idolatry without realizing it. Because idolatry happens when we prioritize wealth, position, or relationships over God. That's why in the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me in Exodus 23. We are forbidden to give to any other object the first place in his affections or his service. Because we make gods of whatever reduces our love for God or hinders our service to Him. Idolatry in any form betrays our connections with Him. We compromise when we put anything above worshiping the one true God. We must always avoid putting people, possessions, and desires before God. No man can serve two masters, Matthew 6:24 says. Why? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Serving two masters divides loyalty and obedience. Trying to achieve material wealth and spiritual devotion at the same time often leads to compromise. God, our God needs our whole heart, our full attention, or He doesn't need at all. Wealth at the price of God causes conflict that will drive us away from Him. That's why Colossians 3:5, even covetousness, this is idolatry. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So greed and sinful desires are connected with idolatry, warning us not to compromise our faith for temporal things. Selfish ambitions become idols when we put them above God. To avoid compromise, we must actively to put to death these impulses and remain true to Christ. 1 John 5:21 says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Amen. Amen. Avoid anything that could replace God when we let lesser things, the material or relationship, whatever, occupy our heart, compromise begins. So keeping our eyes on God prevents idolatry. Isaiah 42 verse 8 says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." God declares His exclusive right to our worship. Compromise in the form of idolatry robs God of the glory due to Him. Whether literal idols or modern forms of idolatry, like success or relationship, anything that competes for our worship dishonors God. His glory is non-negotiable, and our lives must reflect total devotion to Him. God claims our adoration completely, and the idolatry of compromise deprives God of glory. Anything competing for our worship, whether physical or modern form, success or relationship, dishonors God. His glory is unchangeable, remember. And we must worship God fully. Hebrews chapter 10:23. It says here, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promise." We run the risk of losing God's promises when we compromise our faith. The Bible tells us that although God's promises are certain, it is conditional of obedience. So we must cling to them firmly and not let fear or uncertainty cause us to compromise. We must hold fast to God's promises when uncertainty or impatience drive us to disregard God's promises. God is faithful and trustworthy. Therefore, we should hang on to our hope. Compromise often keeps us from God's perfect will. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God's timing is different from ours, and His promises may take time to be fulfilled. We may lose faith if God is delayed fulfilling His promises, right? But God's patience has a purpose. Therefore, we must trust His timing rather than mistrust or compromise. But no worry, because delay is a blessing. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, "He hath made everything beautiful in His time." In God's time. Huh? Even Joshua 21:4-5, it says, "There fail not out of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel, all came to pass." In other words, Joshua proves God keeps His promises. So when we are tempted to compromise and doubt God will deliver, we can look back at Scripture's persistent dependability. See, Israel received every promise from God during Joshua's time, which reminds us that He will also fulfill ours. Romans 4:20-21, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform." He's talking about Abraham. Abraham's unshakable faith inspires us. He believed God's promise even when it appeared unattainable. And this faith glorifies God. That's why he was called the father of our faith. So we must follow Abraham in refusing compromise and trusting God's promises. And in last verse, 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. See, Christ keeps every promise that God made. God's promises are secure in Jesus. So, we should not compromise. He says yes to everything, God says. We must believe God and say amen to his promises because Christ backs them up. And dear brothers and sisters, to sum this up, as we have already learned, compromises may be necessary in relationships, in social life, in the family, when feelings are concerned, to avoid or if it keeps things from getting too complicated. But we must not compromise our relationship with God. Never compromise God's truth, righteousness, and commands in our faith and walk with Christ because it can lead us astray in our faith and relationship with God. And as Christians, we should never use compromise withdrawn to gain favor. Remember, truth and error, good and evil, light and darkness can never be compromised. There needs to be a clear line between Christian and the world. Our holy faith cries out separation from sin, separation from the world and corrupt churches. And when we compromise our faith, we allow evil to enter our life. This can drive us to forget God and make unwise decisions. Even a little compromise can be dangerous. See, when we are tempted to lie, we say, oh, it's only a white lie, or little lie, or maybe break the Sabbath by working. When we know it is wrong, we open the door for the enemy to come in and confuse us. It may start a little, but grow bigger and lead to a terrible choices. One sin leads to another. Over time, we may stray from God's way. Dear brothers and sisters, God calls us to be firm, settled, and grounded in our faith. He wants us to be strong Christians. This means doing what is right even when it is hard. Our unbelieving friends, co-workers, or even relatives may pressure us to change our faith, our belief, or disregard God's teachings. However, we must remain faithful, believing God's way is best. Being kind, courteous, and understanding is important, but we must always stand firm on God's word, never compromise the truth, and we will glorify God by staying close to him and not give in to compromise. I hope and pray that you are blessed this Sabbath day. Make straight the path.
King is coming. The King is coming again. Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The King is coming. The King is coming.
We pray. I invite you to kneel. Let's bow our heart to the closing prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we want to please you in everything we do. Thank you. Thank you so much for helping us to stand for the truth and defending the gospel at all costs, even though we know many will be offended, even our family, who are not in the truth. Thank you, Lord, for helping us not to compromise with sin for the sake of worldly honor and gain. We want to stay close to you all the time because we know, Father, we are safe in your good hands. Thank you so much. Thank you for your promises that we can hold on to in time of trials and temptations. For you never fail to help us. We surrender all to you, Lord. We are yours, Father. And thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, who is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Please, Lord, shower us with your grace. Please send your Holy Spirit to be the controlling power of our life. We are longing to receive the large measure of the latter rain you have promised to your church. And help us to prepare for the very soon return of our King. For we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, our Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Amen.